Good evening, everybody. James McKenna here with my Science Hour tonight. Very interesting. This is for August 31st, 2023. I'm going to be talking about AI driving, artificial intelligence driving. Now, here's the problem. Most databases, and let me just start out by saying that most things that are called AI, artificial intelligence, really are not. They are cross-referencing database systems. That's what they are. In other words, you take in data, you put it into a computer system, you cross-reference things, and then you make decisions. And so the idea of AI is something that really has not been achieved yet. It's the word is used like it's bantered around, even the Vice President learned how to say it. That person that can hardly form a sentence. But here's the situation. You take as much information about driving as you can, and we all know that, for example, driving with GPS systems is fairly good, but it's not perfect. There is a growing number of taxis, for example, that are running on supposedly on AI. And they know within a few feet of where you are. If your car turns directions, it'll note it. And it has really an incredible database of maps worldwide. So almost no matter where you go, the GPS tracking systems for driving and mapping work very well. But there are flaws. And there are situations where there's new construction, it's not up on the new construction, you can't get the correct turns, things like that. It's off by maybe 100 feet in some instances. So if you're trying to take an exit from a freeway, it blanks out just as you're coming up to the freeway. And for example, a lot of cross freeways have two exits, one before and one after. And a lot of times these are complicated. They might be a clover leaf. They might be different types of exits. Okay, so that was a little bit of a summary, but here is the issue. Here is the issue. There are more and more self-driving, they call them self-driving automobiles. There's some movie. I saw this movie. Video, and there's this guy, and he's in the driver's seat, and somebody took a video driving right next to him. He's driving a Tesla. This guy is sleeping, literally sleeping in his car. And eventually, I don't know what happened to the guy, but I assume that he got home okay. But people are taking this as if the car will just drive itself and you don't have to do anything. But there's all kinds of other risks that can happen. For example, the sensors on the car are not like your eyes. It doesn't see everything, and the databases are limited. And I get a kick out of Elon Musk, who is one of the biggest promoters of so-called AI-driven cars. And by the way, it is not AI. It is database, cross-reference database driven. It is different than AI. Everybody's calling everything AI. If a computer does it, oh, it's AI. No, that is not the case. Like GPS, the reason I was talking about GPS is it's a cross-referencing database. And so it knows where you are because of GPS. And here's one of the nice features. I mean, I use it. I use it to travel, and especially if I'm in a place that I don't know. But I've been messed around by it too, because you enter a construction area that it's not familiar with. Oh man, you're in big trouble. You don't know where you're going to end up. So you all of a sudden you're depending on GPS. You come up to this area, and imagine, I'm an experienced driver. I have a lot of years of not using GPS and understanding maps and understanding where north, south, east, and west are and where I'm going. What I, you know. So I have some other, so points of view, let's put it, as far as driving is concerned. But there are a lot of younger people who cannot drive a car. They literally have to have GPS there, and they're following GPS. Make a right turn, okay, in 50 feet, make another right turn, and they don't know where they're going. They have no idea where they're going. They don't know if it's north, south, east, or west. They couldn't find it on a map. This is insane. We're developing people, and this is like the squirrel in the forest. Say you build a new house in the forest or on the edge in the burbs, and you start feeding the squirrels. After a year or two, they forget to learn how to forage. They forget that nuts over there are for storing up for the winter, etc. Because this nice lady in the house over here is always coming out with food. So they forget how to forage. In fact, in national parks and park areas, you are forbidden to feed the animals. And it's also for safety reasons, because if they get wind, there's a free lunch over there. A bear is nothing but a 300 or 500 pound mouse. All they are interested in is food. And here's something I saw once. I couldn't believe this. If you would go to like any place where there's a concentration of people, they typically have a dump. And a lot of these dumps used to be fairly unregulated in that people would just go throw the garbage there, and maybe once a month or something, a bulldozer would come out and bulldoze some dirt over on the top of it. But basically, the bears were there digging around looking for food. And so this guy has got his family there, and the wife has got the camera, and he's got a baby, and he puts jam on the baby's cheek to get the bear to lick it. Oh my goodness! It's like, I didn't want to scream, I didn't want to upset the bear, but he's got holding the baby out with the wife standing there to take a picture of the bear licking the baby's cheek. Oh my God, what are these people thinking? I just saw another video of these people. They were out amongst the bison in Yellowstone. And all of a sudden, one of the male bisons takes a dislike to this woman and starts chasing them. And the man, and he runs one way, but this bison goes after the woman. And she falls down on the ground and plays dead, and the bison then kind of stops. But he paws her and everything. But what are these people thinking? Oh my goodness, that's the same kind of person that would get in a car and let the car drive it. I am totally against auto-driven cars, and there are people who are clamoring to get these off the road. There are places where there are whole fleets of taxis that don't have drivers. Gee, that's a pretty good deal. You got a car, a taxi, there's no driver you got to pay. Pure profit. But the problem is that AI is in its infancy, or you shouldn't call it AI. It should auto-driven cars or self-driven cars. It is not AI. It is cross-reference databases. That's the proper term in computing. And it's not intelligent. It cannot make decisions. All it can do is it has programmed algorithms that allow it to make decisions. So let me give you some examples now of recent failures. And here's a head-on crash. I think this was in Virginia or West Virginia. Student is 17 years old, returning from college, and gets into a head-on wreck. An auto-driven car was in his lane, basically crashed head-on, killed him. The other people, I think maybe there was somebody killed, like a baby was killed in the other car that was auto-driven. Another case, and this is a common one, it's actually been happening a bit because, okay, you're driving down the road in your auto-driven car, you're in the right lane of a multi-lane situation. Okay, the car has sensors in the front, etc., and a semi pulls out and wants to enter. And the car decides it wants to make a right turn. It can't see the semi because the semi's up high and you're close. I mean, you're right there. So it doesn't see anything. The car's sensors are down on the bumper. So it drives under the semi, basically cutting the driver in two or the passengers too. The car will literally drive under the semi thinking there's nothing there. Oh, says Elon Musk, we'll just correct that. I remember Neil deGrasse Tyson, they asked him about that on a radio interview one time. I think it was Joe Rogan, who has all these tier two, or in the case of Neil deGrasse Tyson, tier three, crossover tier two, tier three. He's more tier three because he's just a spokesperson, you know, although he's well-educated, smart guy. But, I mean, he's just a spokesperson. He doesn't do real research. He's just out there pumping the party line on astronomy. But anyway, they asked Neil deGrasse Tyson about AI-driven cars, which are, like I say, not AI. And he said, oh, well, it's really good because say you die in a car accident, you should be happy to know that that accident will never happen again. Well, he's wrong. These, and you know, what a stupid thing to say, because a human-driven car would have avoided that accident. You know, head-on collisions. How more basic can you get than that? And these cars don't know. There was a case where a Tesla came around a corner and there were some cones on the road. It stopped. It didn't know what to do. Instead of going around the cones, because it thought it had to go in the lane it was in, it didn't understand that it had to go around the cones, and it stopped. It just stopped there in black traffic. And so, and then they say, too, that, oh, in an AI-driven car, or let me stop saying that, in a self-driven car, because it's not AI, the person has to take control. You have to be like you're driving all the time to instantly take control if something happens. And that's their excuse. But there's something like 14 cases of death accidents where innocent people are killed by an AI-driven car because the car doesn't understand what it's supposed to do. And in the case, now getting back to the semi case, semi-trailer pulls into onto the highway going next to this automobile, and the automobile doesn't see anything because the semi-trailer is up high. This car decides to make a right turn underneath the trailer of the semi and decapitates the driver. You know, and by the time this happens, this is like you're going on, you know, highway speeds or city street speeds, 30 miles an hour. It's over before you even know it. How could a driver take control of that? How would the driver anticipate, oh, my car is going to drive under that semi? You know, it's insane. And so AI will never, ever, ever, ever be a good thing in automobiles. I saw Tucker Carlson make a comment. He was asked about AI and it taking over trucking business, so that trucks are driven now by self-driven trucks. And he said, that's a terrible idea. I said, one of the biggest employers of really pretty good wage jobs are truckers. Guys that have driven those trucks for years, they know the roads, they're good at it, and they keep the rest of us safe. But can you imagine an AI-driven truck out there that has a, you know, a flawed computer system in it or something, you know, driving down the highway, killing a bunch of people? So anyway, new dangers on the highway. So what can you do about this? If you see a Tesla, stay clear of it. I have a kind of a rule of thumb driving on the highway, and this is not against any group of people. But when I see Asian drivers on the road, I steer clear of them. Because Asian drivers, 99% of them, they're myopic people. They can only see what's right in front of them. They don't look in the mirrors. They don't look back. They don't look in the blind spot. And I remember one time I was in the car with somebody, and we're driving on a freeway. We're going freeway speeds. And I'm holding back and kind of blocking traffic a little bit. And the person goes, what's going on? Why are you slowing down? I said, that's an Asian driver there. He's going to change lanes without a signal, without anything. And the person says, well, how do you know? And just then the car makes a change lane right in front of me. And if I would have been up next to this car, he would have bumped me into the next lane and we would have had a massive accident. You know, ask an AI car to do that. Ain't going to happen. And so they said, wow, how did you know that? I said, that's an Asian driver. He said, they only look in front of them. And I could see this guy was kind of like, he was very nervous. He was like inching over and then he'd inch back in his lane. Never looked at the mirrors, never looked sideways, never looked back to check his blind spot, and was fidgeting like he was going to change lanes, and then all of a sudden changes lanes, wham, like that. And the person goes, how did you know that? I said, because I could tell this guy was fidgeting and trying to, like he was going to change lanes, and he's an Asian. And they're like, oh, holy cow, you know. But there's a case where the same thing with AI driven cars. And let me stop saying that. Self-driven cars. If you see a Tesla, chances are it's a self-driven car. Stay away. Because if it doesn't explode and blow up and burn everybody in sight, it's going to crash into you because its program is faulty. So anyway, that's kind of a couple of weeks ago, I talked quite a bit about burning automobiles because there was just a rash of burning automobiles on the remember the Ford Nikola, remember they used Tesla, poor Nikola Tesla. This guy is so abused, you know, he was abused when he was alive. After he was dead, he was more abused where they went and robbed all of his information, you know, out of his hotel room. And I don't think he actually died in that hotel room. Nobody actually saw him there dead or taking the body out or anything. And the equivalent of the CIA at the time, remember George Bush Sr., that was one of his first activities as the young strapping CIA guy, it was to go in and scoop up all of Tesla's papers. But they had a room down the hall from Tesla where they were monitoring everything he did. There's an old man, he was like, what, in his 80s or something? You know, living in a hotel in New York as without any money, the guy, one of the greatest inventors. This is how the United States treats its scientists. They treat them like crap. And most of these guys today, you know, work in some place, or if they're in like a tier one place like Battelle or for in Los Alamos or any of the other national labs or whatever, you know, people that are, there's a lot of tier two science in there, but there's a little bit of tier one mixed in there also. But I mean, they treat them like crap. And they're just expected to be groveling for their next grant money. And look at Oppenheimer, how they treated him, or look at Tesla. Oh my goodness, how they treated that poor man. Just horrible. How they, absolutely horrific. And you know, the similarity between Oppenheimer and Tesla is they both wanted peace. You know, the same thing with Einstein. They treated him like crap. You know, although he just kind of sat in his office at Princeton and he knew that there was nothing he could do against these guys, he knew fully well too that the best part of the U.S. government and the CIA were run by Germans, Germans that came from Hitler's Germany. You know, they all came in, took over Washington, D.C., and they're still there. The Bushes, I mean, I should say the Schiffs. And you know, the CIA, the Dulles brothers, by the way, were not the originators of the CIA. They were the poster childs to make it sound American. No, it was all run by Nazis. And the generations that came afterwards, you know, George Bush was a generational thing. His dad was in banking in Germany. You know, he was loaning money to Hitler. You know, making sure that Hitler had material supplies. Germany didn't have iron or uranium or anything else. You know, and Congress had to pass the Trading with the Enemy Act to stop George Bush's dad from funding Hitler. You know, go get a clue, folks, who these people are. And the generational thing, then you've got two presidents that came out of that the shifts, what they call the bushes now, they all change their names. And if you look at the Newlands and the all those people, they're all Nazi second generation. You know, the same thing with Argentina. Oh my goodness. You know, Argentina is filled with German communities that are second generation, third generation, fourth generations, in some case, Nazis, who went there in the Nuremberg trials was kind of a show trial to make everybody think they're really getting those Nazis. No, most of the Nazis were already long since gone in Argentina, South America, Brazil. You know, all of the South American countries, Argentina was the big one where they all went because they had the fascist leader there who was sympathetic to the Nazis and thought that by when the war ended and the Nazis won, he'd be in a good position. Anyway, okay, I was talking about auto-driven cars. I got off on the topic, that topic a little bit, but the CIA is pure Nazi driven. And that's why everybody comes up. Trump goes, "Oh, a lot of good people working in the CIA." No, there's a lot of really corrupt people at the top of the CIA, and then mixed in a lot of its layers. Sure, there's some good people that get duped into working there, but they're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they're working for. They think they're working and helping the USA. No. They're compartmentalized on assignments, etc. No, they don't know what they're doing. You know, the CIA, this new guy, what's his Vivek? I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name. You know who I mean. He's running for president. Smart guy, but he wants to get rid of the FBI. Hey, the FBI is just a little subpart of the CIA. You know, the FBI does local corruption. Hitman, doing the dirty work, and the CIA does international, but they mix it up. They both do both. Anyway, you got to get rid of all of those, and that's what Trump didn't understand. He was going to go clean out Washington. Well, no, he just did nothing. He had a Department of Justice that did nothing, and so you need a person in there that understands what's really going on, instead of hiring people like Robert David Steele. He hired all of these his buddies from New York banking communities, and they finally just wrote him out of town, and they're still causing all kinds of problems. But Trump didn't know what he was up against. He's talking about cleaning out the swamp. The only way you clean the swamp in Washington is put a fence around the whole place and call it a prison. Say, okay, all you people are, you're all in prison because you're all corrupt. And extend it out into Richmond, Virginia a little bit, encapsulate that corrupt area also where all the people live in their nice houses that work in for their $200,000 a year salaries in Washington. All pure corruption. Just put a fence around it and call it a prison and move the capital to some place in the middle of Kansas. Or out in Wyoming, someplace where it's out in the middle of nowhere, and start all over again. That's the only way you're going to cure. Just take Washington, D.C., and do what they did in Maui, burn it to the ground. That's the only thing you can do to Washington, D.C. And the honest people that were there will tell you that. The Paul Wellstones or the Mark Daytons of the world, and a lot of other people, they just left. They said, this is a pigsty. This is a snake pit. That's what they called it. Then that's what it is. DC is nothing but a snake pit. And by the way, more people who are scientists, trained engineers, scientists, especially when you get up the ladder, should be talking like this. Here I am on my own show, which I pay for. You're listening out there. I talk about science issues. You're not going to hear problems about AI-driven cars on other radio shows that deal with science. You're going to hear about how great AI is. Everything's got to be AI now. No, avoid AI. It is the plague. It is the modern plague that's going to take down all of families. Anyway, I'm going to talk more about that, but I just wanted to get this little bit of information in here about how to avoid. This is the important part of what I've been talking about relative to self-driving cars. Recognize them, first of all. What cars are self-driven? Teslas for sure. There's other cars that are self-driven. Learn to identify them. And a lot of times they're electric cars, so that's a second good reason to stay away from them on the highways. And just know who they are and stay away from them. But if they're coming at you at 60 miles an hour and you're going 60 miles an hour, you can't tell. They're crossing over into your lane before you know it. And so, you just have to be careful. And I would say also, people who live in cities tend to have AI-driven cars, as they call them. I gotta stop using that term. Self-driven cars, also electric cars. Not a lot of people out in the country have self-driven cars and electric cars. So, because they have to drive longer distances, the convenience of electric cars or the fattiness of cars, self-driven cars or electric cars, is mainly in the city. So the people can go to work and go, I drive an electric car. I'm green. What do you call? Anyway, I'm not going to go there right now. But, so avoid cities. If you're going someplace, avoid cities. Take the back roads and go on the more scenic route, you might say. Yeah, but avoid the cities. That's where you can get a lot of that. And avoid congested regions on city freeways, if at all possible. Or if you have to drive on city freeways, go on the off times. Don't go during rush hour traffic. Because, like I said a few shows ago, it's going to happen. There's going to be one of these big buses or trucks or an automobile. It goes up in flames, a battery car. It's going to go up in flames and it's going to catch the cars next to it and next to those and next to those. And the people won't be able to get out of their cars and run away fast enough, and there'll be moms in their cars with two little kids in car seats in the back, unable to get out. I mean, it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be another Maui fire, another Lahaina Maui fire on the freeway in crowded situation. It's going to happen. And the only thing you can do is stay away. Stay away as much as possible. Drive in off hours. If you must drive on city freeways, go off hours, middle of the day, or 10 o'clock in the morning, rush hour traffic has died off. The other people haven't woken up yet. The alcoholics are still sleeping off last night's binge. So, 10 o'clock in the morning is a good time to hit the roads going through a city. And it'll take you about an hour, okay. By noon, when noon traffic picks up, you're already out of there. Or maybe later in the evening, 8, 9 at night, when there's not much traffic, people are home, and you're not hitting the late, don't hit the late 11 to midnight is a bad time because although there's not a lot of traffic, you get the drunks coming home at night, all plowed out, And so there are certain times when it's relatively safe if you're going through a city. And it is much safer to go on freeways, I will admit that, than going on back roads and things like that, especially if you're on a long trip. You don't want to take forever. So just if you're planning to go through a city, just don't get caught in that super heavy traffic where there's, bumper to bumper cars. A number of years ago, I was in Florida, actually staying there for a number of months and around Tampa. And that hurricane, I don't remember the name, I think it was Mary was the name of the hurricane, but I can't be sure, was coming up the coast on the west coast of Florida. And they were saying, everybody get out of there. And so, anyway, I was leaving anyway. I had rented a house there for a number of months. Very nice in the springtime there. So okay, pack everything up and boom, out of there. And made the mistake. This is on a Friday now. Okay, talk about adding bad conditions upon bad conditions. It's Friday afternoon. I hit Atlanta. Okay, so Atlanta is terrible driving anyway in rush hour. Friday afternoon is really bad. And then add that a hurricane, you had the traffic coming in from like the Carolinas already building up, coming in. You had the traffic coming in from Florida. And I was in the front of this. I didn't realize at the time, but I had left early because Florida was very nice at the time. But here comes this storm, and people just pack up their stuff and leave. And so I was at the very front of the wave. I got all the way up into, was it Kentucky or something, and found a motel for the night. By morning, the parking lot, the motel was filled up. After I got there, it filled up. The next morning, the parking lot was full of people living in their cars, all with Florida license plates. But anyway, talk about bad timing. Friday afternoon, Atlanta, rush hour traffic, add to it all of the hurricane traffic leaving Carolinas and Florida and Georgia, of course, itself, because that can be affected by hurricanes. But anyway, oh my goodness, insanity. You know, that's something too that if you look at presidential candidates, none of them talk about the big issues, like the potential for a landslide in the Canary Islands, which would create a tsunami that could go in as far as the Appalachian Mountains. This has happened before. That's where the coal beds from the Appalachian Mountains came from. And this is another reason why Tier 2 science is so damaging, because they don't understand that coal didn't come from a fern forest that just nicely grew there and decayed. No. It came when a big wave came in, either from a passing comet or from a landslide in the Canary Islands, or maybe a meteorite that hit the Atlantic Ocean and caused a big tsunami. But these waves are, 1,000 feet high. They would wash in and wash out, and there would be nothing left of New York City, not even buildings. It would just be some cement pads there. And in the rest of the coast, you wouldn't find. That's why these archaeological sites, you don't find any people. You don't find much at all. And like these sites in Peru, along the west coast of Peru, 40 million people living there. And of course, now Peru is just like kind of a desert, very dry. I've driven that whole coastline from Bolivia up to Lima. That if you ever want to drive, you talk about Big Sur in California. This makes Big Sur look like a Sunday afternoon drive to the park. Oh my goodness. This is an amazing road, and it's along the coast and just an amazing drive. In fact, when I was driving this on the northbound side, I rented a car in Lima. And drove to, this is when I went to Nazca one time and made the discovery at Nazca that these were antennas, fractal antennas, the Nazca lines. And of course, my paper on my webpage, jmccsci.com, has that white paper regarding that discovery. But anyway, back to Peru. It's a really desert area there. It really, in today's world of Peru, it would not support 40 million people, but along the coastline there are archaeological sites where minimum 40 million people live there. They're also discovering that about places like in Mexico, the Mayan regions around Tulum and south of there, and then up to Chichen Itza, Uxmal, and those regions over by Campeche, Tikal down in the, as you go down farther south. What they're finding out is through laser, this technique that they use from aerial viewing of the land, they can see what's underneath the dirt basically in the jungle, that there were millions of people before. They thought maybe max 100,000 at Chichen Itza during its heyday. No, we're talking millions, maybe 5 million people living in these regions in those times. And then this goes back thousands of years, in the same way with Peru. But the problem with Peru is there's no foliage there. You couldn't support 40 million people with what's there now. You drive around Peru, and there's not a blade of grass for 50 miles. You drive, and then you come into a little valley with a little town there, and it's beautiful. There's a river, and everything is the agriculture is all hand agriculture. It looks perfect, and they grow some food there, and they can support a small local population, but not 40 million people. Boys and girls. And so how did those, there was a time when things were very different in Peru, but there were these cities, archaeological cities, where there were 40 million people living along the coast of Peru, and everything is gone. Just the basic foundations of the stone structures are still there. And so, number one, the climate was very different. They had a lot more CO2 in the atmosphere before these big comets rolled through. And these, like Quetzalcoatl, the Peruvian, the Incas talk about that in their heritage. This big wave came in, a tsunami, and just washed everything away. You don't even find a potsherd, which is crazy. You find, any archaeological site, you're going to find all kinds of remnants from the people who were living there. But there's nothing, nothing, not a potsherd, nothing. So this big wave came in and just washed everything away. And that's the same on the East Coast. But back to my original comment, none of these presidential candidates are talking about the real issues. They're talking about, I don't even want to go into it. I can't even look at American politics anymore. It is so batshit crazy. And what they're talking about, what they want to do, the kind of things. No. Anyway, I'm not going to go there tonight. Okay. So this all started talking about self-driven cars. Avoid them on the highway as much as possible. Okay, I quickly want to get in here. Now, there's a sale going on. And here, let me just give you a little history here. The MR5 whole house water filter, the most amazing water filter ever designed. Nothing like this on the market any place. I mean, this is just an amazing filter. And what's going on now is I realized that due to changing standards, due to a moving target, I had to come up with another filter strictly for PFAS chemicals. And now this is a big issue. The MR5 does remove PFAS chemicals. And the issue is that because of the changing regulations, etc., you have to have a filter that's separate. So if you have an issue, now there's another study that just came out showing that, first of all, PFAS chemicals are everywhere. They have been used for decades and decades after World War II for firefighting foam, for pizza box liners. Anytime you have like a cereal box with that smooth material on the inside, PFAS chemicals. In drugs, say over-the-counter drugs like the pain relievers are famous for having big doses of PFAS chemicals in them to make them slippery. And oh my goodness, they're just everywhere, and they're in the water table everywhere. So anyway, I developed it's a PFAS filter, and I have been selling one, which was a 40-inch filter. It's a big one, 180,000 gallon capacity. Before you have to change the filter element, and it's just a big single filter element. And it's only designed, not only it takes out other things, but the specific purpose is to have one that's certified for PFAS chemicals. Okay, so that's done, and so I realized that the price range was up there. It was $2,900, so it made it prohibitive for the average person to afford. So I said, okay. We got to have a 20-inch version of this, and that's the same as the MR5, 20-inch filters, except instead of five filters, there's one big one in this PFAS chemical. So all the development of that is done, and it's now we're getting the first loads in to sell these to you, the public. So it's another amazing first from JMCC Water Filters. Nobody else has this. I have people calling me from other water filter companies saying, hey, how did you do this? Can I sell them? And they're trying to pick my brains, to try and see how I developed this amazing product. And of course, it costs some money. So I'm trying to raise some money right now to offset the investment into this product. They're there to sell now and at a very reasonable price, $1,500 for this PFAS certified filter. And so anyway, what I have done is I want to sell off some stock of the MR5s that we have to raise some capital, convert stock into capital, which is a smart business move. And of course, by the way, people ask me, if I buy one of your filters, are you going to be here in 10 or 20 years when I need replacements? And all I can tell you is that I've been here for 23 years, and there's been a lot of ups and downs in this business. And a lot of people have come and gone, and a lot of technologies have become outdated, and people are still selling them. They're selling water softeners, calling them water filters and whole house filters. No, those are not whole house water filters. They're a water softener. It has like a fiberglass tank with a little hole at the top with a cap on it and a meter. No, that's a water softener. It's not a water filter of any kind, and it's not, and it doesn't remove anything. The MR5 is a broad spectrum water filter that removes thousands of toxins, and it's for both the hot and cold water in your house. It comes before the hot water heater, so all of the water in your house is filtered. And so what they've discovered is that the PFAS chemicals are now known to affect the immune system, just like getting a COVID shot, which destroys your immune system. So now people have to, the other problem with PFAS chemicals is it's in very small, extremely small quantities that will affect people. The worst cases are for nursing mothers, babies, and pregnant women, older people. And so it was very important to develop a standalone PFAS certified filter because it was too difficult to keep the MR5 up to all of the testing standards, etc. And so literally I had to develop a standalone, and this goes right beside the MR5. This is not a standalone filter in your house just for PFAS chemicals. You need the MR5 filter for all the other chemicals and other toxins and filter, etc. And so this is an add-on filter for those people who should be rightfully concerned about PFAS chemicals. And by the way, if you think these are big prices, I have people call me up all the time, and I'm not going to mention names, but you know who they are if you've been approached by these companies. They're national companies. They want $6,000 or $8,000 to come out to your house and put in a water softener, and they're calling them water filters or whole house. No, 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 no. Don't spend that kind of money. My products are really reasonably priced, and they're actually water filters. Two-stage water filter in the MR5. Then you have the UV sterilizer, which is included in this package. So the best deal package, normally $2,380, $2,380 is literally $1,000 off. And I'm doing this, like I said, to promote. And also, I noticed I had one of these sales once before, and people bought them. And these are people who don't have a lot of money, but they could afford this. It was within their range to finally get a whole house water filter. And so it's a benefit for them. It's a benefit for me because I can change some stock in the capital and pay for this investment into the PFAS filter. Okay, so anyway, go to the webpage, jmccwaterfilters.com, and you can go directly to the MR5 PFAS filter page by typing into the search window mymr5.com. So it's MYMR, the number 5.com, mymr5.com. And you'll go right to the MR5 sales page and look at it. I got a little 3-minute video. They're talking about this new discovery about how PFAS chemicals affect your immune system. And I'll tell you, without an immune system, you are not going to last long. And that is why, by the way, it's also known that PFAS chemicals affect the reproductive systems. There are young people today who can't reproduce. They're not going to have kids because of the toxic pollution in their bodies. And so if it's, I'll tell you, if you got kids going off to college, get them to make your own. I just had a customer call the other day. They're getting a make your own filter for their kid going off to college. But in terms of the whole house water filter, put it in your house. Also add on the new PFAS filter. And at these prices, it's really, really a reasonable prices. In fact, the PFAS filter even has a $150 deduction. These are temporary prices. They're not going to last long. And so instead of $1,500 for the PFAS filter, it's only $1,350. So these are outrageously low prices. They are installed at the same time. They sit very beautifully in where the water comes into your house. Beautiful stainless steel, high quality, and just a very easy installation. You go right out of the MR5 direct, just like a 2-inch pipe into the PFAS filter, and then off to the ultraviolet sterilizer. And so the best steel package for the MR5 for $1,380 is the MR5, the UV sterilizer, and an extra pack of filter elements for the MR5. I mean, this is crazy. So go there. I'm not going to say any more. Just go to the webpage, mymr5.com. By the way, I've started a water channel. And this is something that with my science work, I don't do anything on YouTube. I always say, if you want to fix your bicycle or learn how to plant a garden, go to YouTube. Very good for that. You have all kinds of people putting their ideas, and you get a lot of good ideas. But don't go to YouTube for science. There are so many quacks out there, you couldn't, oh my goodness. All of them, like they say, if you rolled a nickel down the street of YouTube, a million heads would pop out looking for that nickel, and they're on there saying anything. They're not scientists. They don't know anything. They have no experience, and they're out there pretending like they do. But so I don't have anything about my science work on YouTube, but I started a water channel. It's what I call my water channel for JMCC water filters, and I have 3-minute updates, so they're quick to listen to, and you'll see one on my webpage. And so that's something. If you see that, click on it, subscribe to it, like it, so that it propagates. And I'll be doing these quite regularly, hopefully once per day even, where I have a 3-minute update on water issues around the country, around the world, and informing you of your health issues, and then also telling you that you can cure this by getting one of my filters, especially the thing I promote. I still sell those gravity replacement filter elements and a sink filter. But good grief, for a little bit more money, really not a whole lot more, you can get a whole house water filter. And remember, you get the biggest dose of toxins in the daily shower. Your skin is the biggest absorbing organ of your body, and then breathing it in, the lungs the same. There's no filter there, it just goes directly into your bloodstream. These PFAS chemicals, you got all the chemicals coming in that the city puts in the water. If you're in a rural area, the glyphosates and the Roundup and the huge toxin load in rural areas, probably sometimes worse than the city. So at any rate, and then also we have the Big Blue. If you have a well or sediment in your water, surface water, whatever, we have the Big Blue pre-filter for sediment, and it's for those people that have a well on their property. Okay, on to the next topic. I want to bring up this topic of Maui and the fire in Lahaina, and how I am just going to say my opinion in this. I have to say it that way because you know how it is, making bold statements, but it is my professional opinion that I will tell you that the Maui fire was completely orchestrated, faked. And now they are coming out, and there was water there. There was a river that flows down along Maui, and that water was, they were not allowed to use that water because some woke moron in charge of the water said he had to go get permission because of equity. They couldn't use the water because of equity, because they had to check with the farmers first. to see if it was okay to use the water that day on the fire. Can you believe this? This is the point this is getting to. It is beyond crazy. Woke people are problems. Millions of dollars worth of personal homes and businesses were lost. Thousands and thousands of people were dead. Babies, women, grandmothers, because they couldn't get out of the fire because they don't have cars. And there were people who got out because, but there was a lot of traffic jams and, and there was no sirens. That was an orchestrated fire, in my opinion, I got to add on. But they, can you imagine that? That the guy in charge of letting them use the water to douse out the fire and control it wouldn't let them use it because there was no equity that was being saved for the farmers who had necessarily have an equitable right to the water. Oh my goodness. Take these people and beat their head against the cement floor. I'm serious. I'm serious. These people have to go. Wokeness is a disease. People are stupid. Woke stupid, I would call it. Get woke, go broke. And, let's just put it the way it is. These people cannot be in charge of anything. Put them in a sandbox and let them play with a little bucket and like a kid. A little bucket and a little shovel in a sandbox. Take woke people, put them there. That's all I can tell you. The water was there to douse that fire, but they couldn't use it because some woke moron said that because of equity, because it was being saved for farmers, they couldn't use it that day. One day, the river flowing into the ocean, they couldn't use it because of that. Need I say more? And the death toll, they're trying to creep this up. Oh, a few hundred here or something. No. Thousands and thousands of people died in that fire, and the people have no recourse there. The people, there were companies and agencies and, I don't know, just investors, the day of the fire, calling people on their cell phones. Residents of Lahaina, Maui, calling them asking if they could buy their property. What kind of sickness is going around this country? What kind of sick people? But they were standing in line. These people have for decades been thirsty to buy a property in Lahaina because it's, I mean, let's face it, Lahaina was chosen as a port city as soon as Hawaii was discovered. So on the west coast, and the winds come always from the east, so it's always calm there. That's where the whalers hung out, Lahaina. Its history goes back hundreds of years. Some of those buildings were literally hundreds of years old, and the way they were torched, clearly from above, laser technology of some kind, burning all those cars in the street with a tree standing right next to it, fully in bloom, not affected at all. I mean, no, this was a controlled, just like the fires in California, and there's a lot of people talking about this on the internet. And then you have, the disinformation mainstream media out there. Oh, these are conspiracy theories. No, that fire was met. If you go north of there, or east of there, I'm sorry. Where the grassland supposedly started in burning to cause the fire in Lahaina, they were not burned. There's nothing burned there. The fire started in Lahaina. And this idea that there was a storm there fanning the flames, or their invasive species. I heard this woman go, "Oh yes, there were invasive species that are not native to here." No, honey. None of that stuff burned. It was only in Lahaina. The fire started at the edge of Lahaina, the east end of Lahaina, and it was set. It wasn't a fire that came in like a wildfire from the countryside. It was started in Lahaina itself. And then you can see buildings that are completely burned, some of them cement buildings with cars completely burned all around them, with trees standing there untouched. Oh my goodness, if you don't understand, this was a man-made fire, and as I said on the John Moore Show, this could not have been done without the aiding and abetting of the U.S. military. How could a laser system of come in and torch an area where people live, citizens, and the U.S. military doesn't know anything about it? Excuse me. You know, this is insanity. This is insanity. Okay, anyway, a few minutes to go here. I just wanted to touch on that. The situation today is dire. You cannot let these people run anything anymore. The situation is dire in the United States. And I'll tell you, it's about, probably I would say about 3% of the population who are vocal, who have control of the mainstream media. And these people, like CNN, these people work for the CIA. These people are operatives. They're getting their calling cards, they're getting their scripts, what their talking points are from the CIA. And, you know, this is the mainstream media. They get their talking points, they get their information, and they're trained disinformation specialists. And they get paid. You know, these people that you see, that, you know, they get a lot of money to do what they're doing. And I heard one news person say one time that, yeah, they know that. But if they didn't do it, somebody else would do that and make their money. So that's the reason they keep doing it. Completely corrupted, ethically corrupt people. Okay, now for this show, I have in my notes here, I was going to talk about a meteorological terminology that's come in. And I'll talk about this next week. But listen to these terms: polar vortex, pineapple express, thunder snow, tornadic water spout, heat dome, weather bomb. These are all new terms being used by weathermen to make it sound, and this is all related to global climate change hysteria, to try and make it sound like this is all new phenomenon. Anyway, I'll talk about that next week. Remember to go to my webpage. And by the way, I don't have sponsors. I don't have government support. I don't have money coming in the back door like other places. And I work independently. They know they can't control me. My only source of income is when you purchase things from either my webpages, jmccsci.com or jmccwaterfilters.com. Like I say, go direct to the sales page, mymr5.com, and pick up on that huge sale that is there right now. Won't last long. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we're at the crossroads. Good night.